Ruth chapter number 1, we'll look at a very familiar portion of Scripture, and we'll take some applications from the very first 5 verses and so forth. But I hope to be a blessing to you tonight and an encouragement, because all of us go through seasons of discouragement, and I hope that the Word of God will be a blessing to you tonight. Verse number 1 of Ruth chapter number 1, the Bible says, "Now it came to pass in the days when the judges ruled, that there was a famine in the land, and a certain man of Bethlehem, Judah, went to sojourn in the country of Moab, and he and his wife and his 2 sons." I have underlined in verse number 1, a famine in the land. We arrive on the scene in Ruth chapter number 1, and we discover the times are the times of the judges. The Bible says that it is the very times of the judges. Let me remind you, the times of the judges was a time in which the people did that which was right in their own eyes. They'd follow God for just a little while, and then they'd go ahead and do their own thing, and then they would go into captivity, and then they realized they were in a bad way, and they called unto God. God deliver us, and God would deliver them. He'd send a judge to help them, to deliver them out of their bondage, and then it goes through the cycle again. They would follow God for just a little bit, and they would serve God, and they would follow Him, and then they would go off and do their own thing, that which was right in their own eyes. Then they would go into bondage. Some nation would capture them, and then they realize, man, we messed up, we have it real bad. They call upon God again, and God again would deliver them. But the times of the judges was a time when people did that which was right in their own eyes. The Bible says in Judges chapter number 2 that there arose a generation which knew not the Lord nor the works that He did. And that is the context that we find ourselves here in Ruth chapter number 1. These people are living in Bethlehem, Judah, and the people around them and themselves even perhaps are doing that which was right in their own eyes. This is the times that they were living in. Many Bible scholars perhaps believe that this portion of Scripture takes place between Judges chapter 3 and Judges chapter 4. That's the way that the Old Testament kind of goes on. You have books of the Bible that advance the history of Israel. Books like Judges, books like Joshua, they advance the history. But then you have a snapshot, a sidestep, if you will, that takes a closer look into the families, into the lives of the people of Israel. That's what the book of Ruth is. But we find that these people, Elimelech and his family, Naomi, Mahlon, and Chilion, find themselves in a famine. Now, here in our country, we don't much go through physical famine. You can go around anywhere and you can order up some food. You can go and you can get bread. And here in this text, it was more of a physical famine. But I want you to know, sometimes us as Christians, we go through spiritual famine. We go through famines in our own life. We deal for ups and we go through downs and we go through famine. Elimelech finds himself here in his family in famine. They live in Bethlehem, Judah. Bethlehem, Judah, of course, means the house of bread. Bethlehem, Judah was a place that represented the very presence of God. Bethlehem, Judah was a place that was God's protection. It was God's provision. They found themselves in the place of God's presence, but yet they were in a famine. And they decided that they wanted to go away into another land. The Bible says again in verse number 1, "Now it came to pass in the days when the judges ruled that there was a famine in the land. A certain man of Bethlehem, Judah, went to sojourn in the country of Moab, he and his wife and his 2 sons." Let me encourage you tonight to stay in Bethlehem, Judah, and don't go to Moab. Let me encourage you to keep on going forward. Let me encourage you tonight to be steadfast. Don't go where you think the grass might be greener on the other side. Stay in Bethlehem, Judah during the famine. I want to preach on this subject tonight for just the next few moments, a famine in the land. Famine in the land. Let's pray together, may we? Lord, I need your help tonight. I thank you for the Bible. And Lord, the pressure is not on me to deliver, but the pressure is on the Word of God, which you promise will not return void. I pray that you'd use your Word to speak to the hearts of your people tonight. Lord, for anybody here tonight that's discouraged, I pray, Lord, that your Spirit would encourage them. Lord, help those who are in need. Help those who are going through a hard time tonight. May your Word encourage them, be with them. And when we leave tonight, I pray that your Word would speak to us and we'd be closer to you than when we came here tonight. Lord, I ask that you'd be with Pastor tonight, that you touch him and help him. And be with those in our church body that are hurting, and that you'd be near them and that they would know your presence. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. When I was in Bible college up at Crown College, towards the end of my time there, I kind of started getting into whole lots of things. I got into a lot of ministries. I got to be in our public school ministry. It was a great ministry to be a part of. I got to be in our bus ministry. It was an awesome ministry to be a part of. And I'm not trying to pat myself on the back, but I started getting noticed by some of the staff and faculty. As a matter of fact, because of my ability to breathe a lot of hot air through the trumpet, every time maybe a speaker came in, a lot of times they would call me up and say, hey, we want you to play an offertory for when this speaker comes or when this conference comes. And I enjoyed doing that. People started to notice me. They voted me the vice president of the senior class. I don't know how I got to do that, but that was interesting. And I remember people would come up to me telling me, you're going to be the man. And then, you know, my head started swelling a little bit. Hopefully my ear, I can grow into these ears. You know what I'm talking about? But I began to believe what the people were saying. And, you know, I thought, man, I was something. Really, I was nothing. The only thing good about you and I is God's grace and God in us. But I thought I was something. Man, I thought I was the bee's knees. I don't even know what that really means, but I thought, man, I was good, and I'm going to be something, and I'm going to do something for God. I'm going to be great. And that's what I thought. But after I graduated, the Lord had to put me down a little bit. Come on down. And I experienced one of the deepest, darkest famines of my own life. You know, people would look at me and they think, man, he preaches the sermon. He teaches at the academy and he's well known at the school there. And if you would have looked at me, you would have thought, okay, he's got it together perhaps. And he's doing a good job and God's going to use him in a way. But on the inner man, I was sorely discouraged. You ever been there? Kind of going through the motions. Sometimes the Christian life becomes a series of things that we do, and there's a lot of going through the rut and going through the motions, and we just do what we're due because that's what is expected of us. And on the outward man, we look like everything's going well, like everything is going good, but on the inner man, we're experiencing famine. Famine is a place of dryness. I love the Bible, but I'll be honest with you, sometimes going through the Bible, the words don't always jump out at the page at me and you know, hey, that's a good message one day, or that's a good part of the Word of God right there. It doesn't always jump out at the page. Man, sometimes I find myself, I'm in a spell of dryness. Dryness leads to discouragement. Man, I get a little bit discouraged. And, oh, is this Christian life, is it cracked up? Like, is it everything it's cracked up to be? And everybody tells me it's going to be amazing. Everybody tells me that God is going to work in a great way. Is this Christian life really what they said it's going to be like? Dryness and discouragement. We all go through famines in our lives. We find in dryness and discouragement, there are decisions that people like to make. We all know we can think of our mind in our mind's eye of people that used to be in the pews next to you and they should be here, but they went through a spell of dryness and discouragement and they made the choice. They made the decision, well, we're just going to go over to Moab. We're not going to come to church for a little while. We're going to take a little break. We're going to put the Bible down. We're not going to try anymore because we went through a famine, and a famine is not a good place to make a decision like that. We all get discouraged. We all go through famines. There is famine in the land. We've all been there, but we find that there was a forsaking. Look at Ruth chapter 1, verse number 1 again. Now it came to pass in the days when the judges ruled that there was a famine in the land, and a certain man of Bethlehem, Judah, went to sojourn in the country of Moab, he and his wife and his two sons, verse number 2, and the name of the man was Elimelech, and the name of his wife Naomi, and the name of the two sons, Mahlon and Chilion, Ephrathites of Bethlehem, Judah, and they came into the country of Moab and continued there. I want you to notice a couple things. Number one, they devised a plan right here. Things aren't going so good in the house of bread. The house of bread has become the house of trial and testing. And so things aren't going so well. So let's think about what we're going to do. Hey, maybe we could go over to Moab. I hear that things are all good in the hood over in Moab. And at this very point, Moab was the place that was the enemy. Moab was not a good place. As a matter of fact, Moab was devised. It was a city, a place that came out of a wicked relationship that Lot had with his family. It was not the place that they should be going. They were in the house of bread. They were in the house where God was taking care of them. And they were deciding that they want to go over to Moab. You realize what the Bible says of Moab in the book of Psalms? It says it's a washpot. Literally, that means that Moab was a dirty kitchen sink. Let's go over there, Elimelech says. Hey, things are getting a little bit difficult. Things are getting a little bit tough. Let's go over where the grass might be greener on the other side, where there's food. Do you understand tonight that Elimelech was making a decision that was a logical decision? You say, what do you mean by that, Brother Kevin? He was thinking about his family, perhaps. I've got to feed my sons, Mahlon and Chilion. If y'all have boys at home, you know them boys can eat, right? At least if you know me, you know I can eat. Ask my mom. Perhaps Elimelech and Naomi, they're thinking, well, maybe if we go over to Moab, we can find food, we can find a job, we can go ahead and feed our family. It was a logical decision, perhaps, but it wasn't a spiritual decision. There's a difference sometimes between a logical decision and a spiritual decision, and you'll never go wrong making the spiritual decision. Here they were, they're running over, they devised this plan, and look at the Bible says in verse number one real quick, it says this word, sojourn. Sojourn. This was their plan. They devised this plan. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to go over to Moab, but we're not going to stay there very, very long. We're just going to go for just a little bit until everything's all good. We're going to go and we're going to get a job, perhaps. We're going to get some food, and we're just going to stay there for just a little bit. Sojourn means temporary traveler. So they went to Moab. This was the plan that they made, but something happened when they were in Moab that they did not expect. It became a dangerous path. Look at verse number two. And the name of the man was Elimelech, and the name of his wife Naomi, and the name of his two sons Mahlon and Chilion, Ephrathites of Bethlehem, Judah. Watch this now. And they came into the country of Moab. Watch this. And what? Continued there. They thought that we're just going to get out for just a little bit. We're going to leave the place of the house of God, the house of God of bread. We're just going to go for a little bit. We're going to sojourn. We're going to be temporary travelers. We're going to go for a couple months, maybe a year, but then we will be back. But that, you know what happens? They didn't come back. The Bible says that they continued there. Hey, listen tonight. Sometimes you might go through a spell of dryness. You might go through a spell of discouragement. And you think, man, maybe I just don't need to be in church for just a little while. Maybe I just take a break. Maybe I'll put the Bible down for a little bit. You know, it's just been dry lately and I'm going through the motions. Maybe I'll just take a little break. That's a dangerous place to be, friend. I'll just take a break. How many times have you heard somebody, I'm just going to go for a little while out of church, but they don't come back. They think that the grass is greener over in Moab. We're going to go to Moab. Everything's going to be fine. Everything's going to be good. And they ended up continuing there. But we find something else that happened there. Not only was it a dangerous path, we find that there's death in that place. Look at verse number three. The Bible says, "And Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died. And she was left and her two sons, and they took them wives to the woman of Moab. The name of the one was Orpah and the other Ruth, and they dwelt there about 10 years. And Mahlon and Chilion died also, both of them. And the woman was left and her two sons and her husband." Listen, tonight they planned to be there for just a short time. The Bible says that they continued there. And then the Bible says they continued there 10 years. They ended up dying in that place, these three men, Elimelech, Mahlon, and Chilion. They decided to forsake. When things got a little bit difficult, when things got a little bit tough, they decided, hey, we're going to go away for just a little while. Don't worry, we're going to be back. But they never came back. Be careful about choices in discouragement. Don't make big choices when you're discouraged. Don't make big decisions when you're discouraged. Oh, we're going to move to this place. Or don't make logical decisions that go against spiritual decisions. There's a lesson of famine. They went through a famine. There's a lesson here of forsaking. I encourage you to stay faithful. Thirdly, there's a lesson of faithfulness. Amen. We're going to move on a little bit more here. Look at chapter 2 and verse number 1. The Bible says, "And Naomi had a kinsman of her husband's, a mighty man of wealth of the family of Elimelech. And his name was Boaz." I love that name, Boaz. That's such a manly name, Boaz. I like it. Boaz. We find that these three men, Elimelech, his family, Mahlon and Chilion, they went to Moab and they died there. They were going on a temporary trip, but it became something, a permanent place for them. But then we're introduced to a man by the name of Boaz. I remind you that Boaz was through the same famine that Mahlon and Chilion and Elimelech went through. He was there in Bethlehem, Judah. He was there going through the same exact circumstances. He was there with all the problems and all the difficulties. But what is the difference between Boaz and what is the difference between Elimelech? Is the difference is this, that Boaz decided that he was going to stick it out even though it got a little bit difficult. Hey, yes, it's going to get hard. Sometimes the Bible says that man that is born of a woman is a few days and full of trouble. We all know about all that. There's problems, there's troubles, there's difficulties. There comes famine in our life. But here's what you need to decide, that I'm not going to quit. I'm not going to throw in the towel. I'm not going to put in for a retirement. I'm not going to take a sabbatical, but I'm going to remain faithful. You know what? You may not be the most talented person. You may not be able to sing the song. You may not be able to play the instrument. Or you may not be able to do something that people would look at and say, man, that's really awesome. But every child of God has the ability to be faithful. Steadfast. We're going to stick by the stuff. We're not going to quit. We're not going to forsake. Yes, times might get difficult. Times might get hard. We might go through famines, ups and downs. Those things happen. But no matter what happens, we're going to be steadfast. Faithful. When the church doors are open, you can count on us being here no matter what happens. We're going to get here if we can. We're going to be faithful. I'm going to be faithful to read my Bible. I'm going to be faithful to pray for my family. I'm going to be faithful to serve God and live for God and walk with God. By the way, parents, if you don't pray for your children, who else is going to pray for your children like you can pray for your children? Be faithful is all I'm trying to say tonight when things get a little difficult. I'm reminded, I love reading military history. It's one of my favorite things to read. I've got several books on the subject. And I was reading about a Medal of Honor winner by the name of Hector Cafrata. He's from Booton, New Jersey. He's a man that as soon as he was able to, he joined up. He wanted to be in the Marines. So he became a Marine, and he ended up fighting in the Pacific War. And there he was. They were on this mount. They were trying to capture it and hold it from in the Pacific there. And in the middle of the night, it was cold, it was freezing, they were frostbitten. I'll never forget the story, but as they were there, in the middle of the night, they were ambushed and attacked. And very, very, very soon, this soldier, this Marine, realized that pretty much all of the people that he was with, the other Marines, were incapacitated or killed. He was literally one of the only people that was left unharmed. And the people kept coming after him. They kept coming and they kept coming. They kept fighting. He realized, man, I can't run now. I've got to hold my ground. I've got to be steadfast. So what Mr. Hector did there, this Marine, he got himself in that foxhole and he held on and he fought as best he could. He found one of his buddies there. His eyes had been messed up from a grenade, but he would load the gun for him and give him the gun. And he just kept going and kept going and kept going. And these people, they kept coming at him, but he would not be moved. From that foxhole, he remained faithful and steadfast, and you know it was hard. I'm just saying tonight, as God's people, let's be faithful. I'm praying and I'm burdened for people who just get so tired and they get weary in well-doing and they decide that they're going to just be away for a little while or they're going to quit or they're going to do something else for a little while. Let me encourage you tonight to stay faithful. There's famine. There's forsaking, but there's faithfulness. And lastly tonight, there's fruitfulness. The Bible says in chapter 2 and verse number 1 again, and Naomi had a kinsman of her husband's, a mighty man of wealth of the family of Elimelech. Watch this now. And his name was Boaz. The Bible said he was a man of wealth. He remained faithful, and then we see that he was fruitful. Let me remind you tonight that faithfulness breeds fruitfulness. Faithfulness breeds fruitfulness. Again, he went through the same famine that Elimelech went through, but he stayed in Bethlehem, Judah. He went through the same things, but he stayed and he was faithful. He decided to be there and trust God and go through it, and he was blessed because of his faithfulness. We find that he has a vineyard. We find that he meets this young woman by the name of Ruth. Did you know tonight that Boaz himself is in the very line, the lineage of the Lord Jesus Christ? I don't think that happens if he goes ahead and quits. But he stuck it out and he was fruitful because of it. Aren't you glad you have your Bible that reminds us of faithful, fruitful people? I think about Joseph. He went through a lot of things in his life. His brothers, they hated him. They kicked him in the pit and sold him into slavery. But he was faithful still. The Bible says that God was with him. And then he finds himself in Potiphar's house. And he's faithful there at Potiphar's house, even though he was lied on. Even though he went through a little bit of a famine there when Potiphar's wife lied on him, he got sent to the prison. Guess what the Bible says of him there? The Lord was with him. And even he was faithful there, he finally made his way to the palace where he was faithful there. The point is, he remained faithful. How about Moses? Moses went through a few things in his life. He was there, raised in Egypt, and then he went off to the wilderness and he became a shepherd. Then he comes back. He goes through the wilderness again, leading the people of the Hebrews to the promised land. He was somebody that went through a lot of hardship, but remained faithful. And because of his faithfulness, he was fruitful. Time and time again, you can go through the scripture and you'll find a character. You'll find somebody in the Bible, and inevitably, they go through a valley. They go through a famine. All the great heroes of the faith that we talked about in the Word of God, they go through things. Just like we do. But they remain faithful because they have a faithful God. We go through ups and downs. Let me just give you in closing tonight a couple of applications for the famine in your land. Number one, let me say this, famines can and will come into your life. It happens. It's an inevitability. You're either in a famine, coming out of a famine, or you're about to go into a famine. Famines come into your life. Like we said just a moment ago, man that is born of woman is a few days and full of trouble. It happens. Here's a second thing very, very quickly. Famines do come into your life, but famines are temporary seasons. Famines are temporary season. You realize tonight that the famine that we just read about is not close to being the whole story of the book of Ruth. It is less than one chapter of the book of Ruth. Right now you might be in the famine of your life and you're discouraged, or you think, man, it's dry. I might just be going through the motions. Be encouraged tonight that it is a temporary season. It is a temporary season. How many of you have ever been on a roller coaster before? My father-in-law, who's a pastor in New Jersey, I love him very much. He says sometimes the Christian life, it doesn't get rid of the problems. It adds to the problems sometimes when you get saved. But I find that the Christian life sometimes can be a roller coaster. I'll never forget my first youth conference here as a teenager, 14 years old, up to North Carolina. We went to Carowinds. And I wanted to impress somebody, so I was afraid of roller coasters at the time. Didn't like them. The very sound of them made my adrenaline rush. I was like, that stuff ain't for me. Wanting to impress somebody, I got in line at the roller coaster Top Gun. That just does not sound very, very good. So Rick Hatcher was there, and Andy was there, and Rick Blaylock, you know he's trouble, he was there. And I got in line, and I'm telling you, as I took steps closer to where they put you on the little seat there and they buckle you in, my heart was beating even harder. And I just wanted to get on this ride. I wanted to impress somebody. I was excited about it. And, oh, man, here we go. But as I got closer and closer and closer, I decided, you know what? This is not for me. And as I turned to do an about face, what did I find? But Andy and Rick Blaylock and Rick Hatcher, they said, you're not going anywhere, buddy. They constrained me. They put me on the very front row. You understand, this roller coaster was one of those coasters that the track's above your head and your feet dangle in the air. The very front row. So there's nothing in front of you except for the whole North Carolina and South Carolina. And they left me. Bye. We're going to go get something to eat. But life, it's like a roller coaster. I remember going up that thing, cluck, 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 cluck. And that particular roller coaster, it's called Afterburner now. It stops right at that crest, and you're looking over the whole park. North Carolina is in front of you. South Carolina is in the distance. And then you kind of bank off to the right. Sometimes that's the Christian life. You're up and down and all around. That roller coaster did barrel rolls, lipty-woos. I don't even know what that is. It even went underground. Remember that? Coasters, man. Remain faithful. Ups, downs. barrel rolls, stomach in a knot. You know, sometimes that sounds a lot like the life. Going every which way, up and down and all around. But aren't you glad during those times, anytime, God does not change? He's faithful. It's just a season. Seasons come to an end. Famines are going to come into your life. Famines are a temporary season. You know what famine is? It's an opportunity to be faithful, to trust God, and to not go off to Moab. You know what it is? The obstacle is an opportunity. No matter how difficult it gets, no matter how hard it might get, sometimes it might seem dry in my walk with God and I might just be going through the motions, but I'm going to stick by it as an opportunity to prove that I can be faithful to God who's always, always 100% of the time been faithful to me. It's an opportunity to please God in the famine. So tonight I encourage you, don't go off to Moab. Maybe you're here tonight and you're thinking, man, it looks better over there in Moab. Things might be dry and a little bit dusty here. And oh man, it's just a hard time right now. Maybe I need to take some time off. Don't go to Moab. Stay faithful in Bethlehem, Judah. Be steadfast. Be unmovable. Be trusting the Lord. I often think about Noah and the ark. They got all the animals on the ark there. And I imagine, I'm not real smart, but I imagine after a few days, there was kind of an aroma on the ark, you know, to put it nicely, I guess. And man, it must have stank like 3 days at camp with the boys, okay? It smelled bad. But I guarantee that Noah and his family were glad to be in the ark rather than on the other side. They were glad that they stuck it out. Stick it out tonight. Somebody said this, if you're hanging on by a thread, make sure it's the hem of his garment. Stay faithful. Don't go off to Moab. Stay in Bethlehem, Judah. It's just a season tonight. Be faithful. Let's pray together, may we. Father, thank you for your faithfulness to us. Would we realize that we have to exercise faith in our Christian life? We got saved by faith, Lord, but our Christian life continues in faith. And though sometimes it may not seem like we can see your hand, but we can trust your heart. And Lord, I pray for those perhaps that are going through famines in their own life. Please encourage them, help them, speak to them. And Father, we'll thank you for what you're going to do, Lord. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
On behalf of everyone at Beacon Baptist Church, we thank you for joining us today. Our prayer is that your heart and life has been impacted through the biblical truths of this message. If you have questions or would like more information, please contact us through our website at beaconbaptistchurch.org. That's beaconbaptistchurch.org. May the Lord bless you.